parks, public lands, boat ramps, and green space have been in high demand in the pandemic. Back in April, Governor Evers ordered dozens of state parks to close for a time amid the crowds, vandalism, litter, concerns over lack of social distancing. The Wisconsin Policy Forum looked closely at the surge into nature, what can be done to expand or improve on public land use. And you can join in. What are your outdoor pursuits? Can you get out into nature? What holds you back? It's 800-642-1234. Jacob Holzclaw is recreation warden for the Department of Natural Resources West Central Region based in Eau Claire. Jake, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good to be on.
And we also have Jason Stein with us, research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum and lead author of this report called Take It Outside. Jason, welcome back.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jason, let's start with you. Give us some top line numbers that signal this is a surge into the outdoors. What numbers jump off the page to you and indicate Wisconsinites that, you know, we're really getting out there?
Sure. Well, you can really see it in so many different aspects of outdoor participation, which is, I think, what makes it striking. But if you look at fishing license sales, those had been gradually declining leading up to the pandemic. This year, we saw a 13.2% increase over the months post-pandemic compared to 2019. And if you look at new fishing licenses, those are really notable. They more than doubled sales in 2020 compared to 2019. State park vehicle stickers rose 40%. Annual trail pass sales for out-of-state all-terrain and utility vehicles rose 33%. And then you see at the local level, you see parks that have counters. We saw a number of those that were up substantially. We saw that sales tax collections by sporting goods stores versus general merchandise stores were on a fairly similar trend pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then during the months of the pandemic, sporting goods stores initially dropped during the lockdown and then shot up and have far exceeded general merchandise store sales during the months of the pandemic. So, you know, you can really look, it seems like almost anywhere having to do with the outdoors, whether it's an urban park or hunting on state land, and see a big increase.
Jake, from where you are in the west central part of the state, how do these numbers translate into what you see on the ground as a recreation warden?
Well, I think we can all agree that last year is just one of the craziest years in memory. Yeah, the numbers correlate exactly to what I've been seeing. Whether it's from an increase in fishing activity or hunting activity, to probably the most notable for our division was just investigation of additional crashes, because there's so many more people out and about in the outdoors, specifically ATVs and UTVs. So, you know, our numbers rose substantially, almost double what they've been in previous years.
And this really has to do with congestion out there on the trails?
Well, that could be part of it, but I think additionally, as Jason was mentioned earlier, there's new user groups out there. There's new people that are they're wanting to get into the outdoors and wanting to experience it in different ways. And I think there were just a lot of new folks that maybe weren't as experienced, perhaps hadn't been trained, trained properly, things like that.
Jason, you saw a big jump in first-time annual licenses for anglers, which come at a reduced price. We don't know yet whether these anglers will renew their licenses, but is there any indication that we'll maintain this new level of activity?
Well, it's a great question. The DNR did an online survey of those first-time license buyers, and it is worth noting that I believe it's 10 years that you haven't bought a license to qualify. And so, you know, in some cases, these were people who had truly never fished before. In other cases, there were people who were fishing out of state and started doing it in Wisconsin, or they had gotten away from the sport and they came back to it. And I think there's, but when you look at, when you can draw tens of thousands of people into a new activity, whatever it is, and you could say the same when you look at bird watching apps. Those downloads and tagging and things like that were also up in Wisconsin. A lot of people are probably going to return to the bars and restaurants and concerts and sporting events when they get a chance to do that. But it's hard to believe that you won't have some people that will just naturally find that they like fishing or they like bird watching or cross country skiing. And, they now have the equipment to do it and they'll continue to do it.
Jake, I wonder, do you have people who are coming to you with questions on how to use the recreational opportunities, whether it's questions of etiquette, whether it's rules, because they're new to using what is available to them in the outdoors?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I have just throughout the spring and summer, people are if they're wanting to go on the outdoors and partake of something, say for example, paddle sports or some of the silent water sports or getting out on the trails and the routes with an ATV or UTV. I think there's just additional questions this year in regards to, hey, where do I take a safety class or how do I take a safety class or what is, what are the regulations for this activity? I think myself and other wardens in the field have really experienced a lot of those questions, and a good portion of those are, at least in my experience, new users.
The mantra when we go into nature is leave no trace. When you look at the properties where you are we holding that up?
As far as
Well,
the
disturbing the
situation can be.
ecosystem, litter, things like that are how do you see the wear and tear of these properties as you have an influx of visitors?
I mean, as far as specifically to say the state parks, I couldn't speak too much to that because I didn't work in many of the state parks, but just traveling through them and working or, working around some of the other public areas, I think it just stands to reason with increased activity, there is going to be increased user use. There's going to be increased littering. There's going to be increased potentially degradation to, the environment, things like that. But I think, where we're at right now is we're just kind of figuring out how to strike that balance. I mean, we want to obviously have people out in the outdoors. We want new people out there experiencing, what I myself really enjoy and love. So yeah, there's that balance.
Jake Holzclaw there, DNR Recreation Warden in Eau Claire. Jason Stein with us, Research Director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're taking stock of the increase in parks and trail use, purchases of fishing and hunting licenses, what this all means and what this interest means for policymaking initiatives going forward. Have you taken to the trails or gone fishing or hunting amid the pandemic? What caused you to want to explore Wisconsin outdoor offerings more? What was your experience like? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about the surge in outdoor recreation during the pandemic. My family hiked the snowy trails of Pheasant Branch Conservancy in Middleton last weekend, and goodness knows many other people had the same plan. Those trails were very busy. We even saw a kayak on the open water in the creek, and a line of parked cars stretched all along Pheasant Branch Road. Is your favorite outdoor spot getting a ton of visitors? How do you negotiate the effects on the natural environment with the crowds? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have DNR Recreation Warden Jake Holzclaw and Wisconsin Policy Forum Research Director Jason Stein. They're with us for about 10 more minutes. Jason, let's take a closer look at funding. Our state is known for our parks and outdoor recreation, but we rank low compared to other states in the funding we put into these places. What did you find?
Well, certainly at the state level, that is true. We rank second to last for spending on parks at the state level. Now, it is also true that more parks are delivered at the local level in Wisconsin, and that when you look at it in the totality of state and local government, it's a little more balanced. But I think that ranking for the state is important because, you know, you're not going to get the sort of experience, say, that you get at Devil's Lake State Park in an urban park setting. So, you know, there really is purpose for both state and local parks, and you want to have both systems to be strong and viable. When you think about funding, I mean, one thing that will help is having this influx of visitors because in the 2015-17 state budget, the state removed tax funding from the park system and it's now supported by user fees. So it is an advantage that we, you know, when you have more users come in, you do have more revenue, but you do also, as you pointed out earlier, have more wear and tear, more costs, and so forth. So I think this is something that policymakers at the state and local level want to at least consider as they're trying to deal with a lot of other budget concerns during the COVID era.
But I wonder, you know, can upping fees at, say, high demand parks resolve issues that come with high demand, more demand? I mean, it sounds like it's a more multifaceted issue.
Well, and that is, I mean, that was something that was recommended several years ago, or at least presented as an option by a DNR report. You know, and to some degree, we have done that in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we tend to have, from what I could see, a little less developed parks than some neighboring states. So, you know, fewer electrified camp spots. Fewer, you know, not as many like rustic cabins for people to rent, that sort of thing. You could certainly add those elements to parks. You could add things like sponsorships to parks. I think the balancing act is for some people, you know, they want a certain kind of experience when they go to a park or they go to public lands. And, you know, to some degree, there may be tension between things that you could have at a park that would raise revenue and things that, you know, that experience of being in nature, being in an unspoiled place.
Let's bring in Rana now in Cameron with thoughts on this. Rana, what do you observe when you're out in the wildlife?
Good morning, Kate. Good morning to your guest. We've done kind of an experiment with our grandkids this winter, and I encourage others to do it. We live in northwest Wisconsin, and we've always hiked in Amnokon and Pattison when the weather's been, you know, warm and sunny, and we've been battling mosquitoes, et cetera, et cetera. So this winter, quite recently, we took the grandkids and we did a winter hike down to the falls in Pattison and Amnokon and around on the trails, just so the kids could see, and us truly, what the park looks like in the wintertime. And then we talked about how the water, as it freezes, as it comes down the falls, and we made snowballs and we threw them in the open water and we watched them melt as they came farther to the faster water. And we just had a great time. So if that's what you want to do, get up here soon and do it quick because it's melting, but it's still beautiful. Have a great day.
Yeah, Rana, thank you so much. And it sounds like those grandkids would have had just a stellar time. You know, Jake, hiking through the seasons and also carrying on the tradition of loving the outdoors to the next generation, so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, the outdoors was important in my family growing up, and that's part of the reason I wanted to become a warden, is I wanted to, you know, help protect those resources, help protect the people that are using those resources. And now, like you may, like Jason mentioned earlier, I mean, there's these, you know, issues with possible, you know, too many people or conflicts on waterways. And that's one of the things I deal with as well. And, you know, because you have one group saying, hey, you know, we want to be out here canoeing and kayak, and we don't want to be disturbed by, say, the motorboats. But the motorboat crowd, you know, they have every right as well to be on the water. And so we're just kind of working through those issues. And you know, it's you know, I could almost predict that this spring, this summer is going to be as busy. But you know, time will tell.
We're talking with Jake Holzclaw, DNR Recreation Warden in Eau Claire, Jason Stein with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, lead author of this report that looked at the jump in outdoor activities amid the pandemic. Let's bring in Jerry now in De Pere. Hi, Jerry, go ahead.
Hi. I just happened to turn my radio on as I'm driving across this great state, and and I wanted to make a comment on the fact that I just got back into fishing. I was ice fishing recently, and really, really enjoyed it. And I was on a river in Wisconsin, and in talking to a number of the anglers that were out there, they were seeing like huge increases in anglers and ice fishing. And when I was down there, we were fortunate to have a visit from one of the DNR officials, real tall guy, big guy. And he was walking around. It was really, really pleasant to the anglers. There was a level of respect between the anglers and the DNR official. He's walking around talking, smiling with everybody, and seeing how our fishing was going. And it was really nice to see. It was just, it was real pleasant. And I had a great experience that day.
Oh, Jerry, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Jerry, really finding community out there with the DNR as they walked around, as Jerry got back into ice fishing, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely not the first story. I mean, just checking folks out deer hunting during the big 9-day gun deer season. I don't know how many people I talked to that said, hey, I hadn't hunted in 15, 20 years, and now I'm back at it. So there's just a lot of different aspects to, re-upping and getting back into the outdoors.
Jason, as we wrap up here, what sources of funding should lawmakers explore and look at to sustain these outdoor activities in Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, one issue, ongoing issue, is that what had been declining fishing and hunting license fees, those conservation revenues are really important for our state's wildlife and other programs. So that's something to watch to see if they can find ways to hold on to some of these new participants and keep some of those revenues for conservation. We have the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, which uses debt to buy public lands and make improvements on state and local lands. That's going to be up in the state budget. So there's a number of items like that that are going to be important for people to watch and for their elected officials to watch in the coming months.
Jason and Jake, thank you for joining us. Jason Stein is Wisconsin Policy Forum's research director. Jake Holzklaw is a DNR recreation warden in Eau Claire. We have a link to the study called Take It Outside. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.